In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us quieten our hearts and turn our thoughts in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have gathered here before your holy and unperishing word, we ask of Thee that You would come to be with us through Your Spirit, that You would guide our speech, You would open our hearts to Thy love, that You would feed us with Your Word, so that when we leave from this place, we could be strengthened to remain believing your word, so that we could remain as your children, walking upon the way that leads to heaven. We thank you, dear Father, for all your blessings, so many wonderful blessings. We do not realize them all, but we know that you have given all that we have, and we humbly thank you for all things. We pray on behalf of this land where we live, that you would allow us to always be able to gather freely before your word, that you would protect our nation from evil. We pray on behalf of those that do not know your kingdom here on the earth, that you would awaken in them the knowledge of sin, so that they would begin to look for your kingdom while the doors are yet open unto this world. And our prayers seem to be so small and empty, but we turn to Thee with that perfect prayer which your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For this Advent service, this first Sunday in Advent, we will read from the book of St. Luke, from the 19th chapter. We will read verses 28 through 40, with that prayer that if it would be God's will to open His Word, we will hear and speak from these words of God. The words are in Jesus' name as follow. And when He had thus spoken, He went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which, at your entering, you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why you loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, as we have seen here this morning, the lighting of this Advent candle, we are living that time of Advent, or that time of waiting or preparation. You children well know by now that Christmas is only now a few weeks away. And I'm sure it is with you as it was with me as a young boy that Christmas was a special time then, and it remains today a special time of year. But as a young boy, I thought of the things that I would receive at this time of year, more so than maybe the real significance of the happenings on Christmas. Although I'll have to say that as a young child, I so easily believed, and I didn't deeply think on matters as now that I've become older and I struggle with the things of the mind. The mind is a powerful thing that we have and that we need for this temporal life. It's a blessing from God. But our minds are also those members of our body that don't always so easily accept things we don't understand. This happening of scriptures which we have read this morning is that familiar portion that we oftentimes even read again on the church calendar. It's read oftentimes on the week before Easter on Palm Sunday. For this event that we read is is 1 week previous to Easter. When Jesus was nearing the end of that work here on the earth, he had done many miracles. So many miracles that the people naturally wanted him to be their leader, their natural king. And we would have to think that it would be a marvelous thing that a leader of our land could have such compassion towards their fellow man, that could heal even our natural infirmities of the body. Many of the people of the Old Testament time had read from God's Word, the Old Testament writings, how Jesus would come, the promise of God would be fulfilled. And so now this happening of Scripture was towards the end of that fulfillment that God had promised. I've sometimes wondered that those people of that day did they realize the things that were happening? Did they acknowledge that this was the fulfillment of the plan that God had placed or had promised to sin-fallen man? Did those people of that day, did they go about their daily life as you and I? We wake up in the morning and I don't, most mornings, I don't think that, you know, this may be my last day. That Jesus might come today. There was that portion of God's Word where Jesus was traveling through a village of Samaria, and I can't remember the name of the village, but it was Sychar. But there was a well that Jacob had dug there. And Jesus had stopped by the well, and he sent his disciples into the city to buy provisions for the body, food. And so they went there into the village to buy food, and in the meantime, a woman had come there to the well as Jesus rested. And Jesus began speaking to this woman. This woman had some knowledge of the Old Testament writings, although she was a Samaritan. And the Jews and the Samaritans were not, even though they were, in some ways, they were related by blood. Jesus had asked this woman that if she would give him some water. And this woman was amazed that this man, this Jew, I don't know how she knew that he was a Jew, but that he would even take the time to speak with her. This woman said to Jesus, she said, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink? Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. During this time of Palm Sunday, this text which we had read, did the people realize they were living the fulfillment of the promise of God? Do we today realize that we're also living that time that God has promised? We don't know when the end will come. Even as we just so recently experienced here in this congregation, how a dear brother was called so quickly from this life. I'm sure he didn't realize that that was his last day. He had temporal plans, as you and I. But God also has plans for us. God's plan is that we would make it to heaven. That is his plan for all people. We as the children of God we have a great gift from God. And we don't oftentimes realize the great value of that gift that God has given us. Even as Jesus spoke with this woman at this well, he says that if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Certainly this gift of faith is just that. It's a gift. What is a gift, dear boys and girls? Is a gift something that you've earned? Maybe it is in your homes that your mother and father have told you that if you behave, then you will be given gifts at Christmas time. And that's good that we would be obedient children to our mother and father. That we would do that work that they've asked us to do there in the home. But a gift is different than something that we've earned. Certainly you might say that, well, I've tried to be good, and maybe I'll be given gifts here at Christmas time. But I'm sure if you're honest, as we need to be, we can say that we haven't earned much. But in spite of it, God has given us this gift of faith. We're not better than those that dwell on the outside of this kingdom. We wish that they could also be members of God's grace as we are. We don't sit here on the inside of God's kingdom and think that, oh, you others, you're so wretched. There's no room for you here on the inside of this kingdom. But we wish that you also could know the gift of God. Even as Jesus spoke with the Samaritan woman, the Jews didn't have much dealings with the Samaritans. They didn't look highly upon them. The woman said to Jesus, she said, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. Notice that Jesus knows the events of all our lives. This woman that was there at the well, I'm sure this woman had never visited before with the Lord Jesus. But Jesus knew her life. He knows the life of all people. He knows the life of you and I. He knows what you did this morning. He knows what you said. He knows what you did last evening and last week and last month and last year. This woman had been living in sin. She had been married and divorced and married and divorced 5 times. Certainly we could say this woman was a sinner. But yet Jesus took the time to speak to her. The message of the kingdom of God still goes forth in the same way in this world. We're not better than the other people of this world. But our sins have been forgiven. That is the difference between the children of God and the children of this world. This woman must have been a little bit ashamed of her life. Maybe not a little, but maybe a lot. She said that I have no husband. She knew what she had done, what her life consisted of. She also knew to some extent God's word. She had even told Jesus who dug that well that it was her father Jacob, although that was many hundreds of years. And she also told Jesus in that conversation that she believes that the Messiah will come. Did she think he would come during her life? Or did she think it would be sometime far off? And she even told Jesus that the Messiah will come and he will tell us all things. Jesus then told this woman that he that speaketh unto thee is he. This woman believed the message that Jesus spoke to her. Her sins were forgiven. She repented of those former ways. She became a child of God. When Jesus left the command or the commission to his disciples, what was that commission that he gave them? He told them to go into all the world and speak of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That mission has remained until this day. Repentance is necessary to enter into this kingdom. There's no repentance needed to enter into the other kingdoms of this world. We could leave the kingdom of God and go into the world, and the world would welcome us with open arms. No repentance is needed. But in the kingdom of God, repentance is necessary. One must acknowledge their sin, and God will forgive. It may seem like a simple matter, but it's a difficult matter for the pride of man. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, he came in a way that was prophesied of, but it was different than the kings of his day. Naturally, we would think that a king should come in a more pronounced way, or a way that is shows some pomp. Or we know in our land that if the president visits our state or our community, he usually doesn't come riding upon a donkey, but he comes in oftentimes a black limousine. The people of the time of this happening of scriptures which we study this morning had waited for a king. They were there in that city of Jerusalem under the Roman rule. They could read in God's word in the Old Testament writings that one day a king will come of the seed of David, that great king that had once ruled that land of Israel. Powerful nation. But Jesus came to be a king of a different kingdom than an earthly kingdom. We know what happens to earthly kingdoms. They grow and they fall. We just heard a few days ago during our Thanksgiving program how this land where we live was founded on God's word. They observed the writing of scriptures and they endeavored to rule in such a way. But the kingdom of God is not a democracy as we live here in this land. Where we know a democracy, it changes as the people change. When the people don't like something, if they get enough votes, then they can change the way things are. But that's not how God's kingdom is. God is the King and Lord. Jesus is the judge of this kingdom. Things don't change here in this kingdom like they do in the democracies of this world. We can see what happens when man decides to make the rules, and they have to reject oftentimes the teachings of God's word. We have seen in our land how many of the laws of our nation have changed. How things that we would think to be so evil have now been changed to be accepted by man. Things that are sin before God and have always been sin before God and will always remain sin before God. How man has changed these things to be acceptable before other men. And if you're not tolerant of the things that man has decided are better, how you're oftentimes not well-liked here in this life. But dear brothers and sisters, it's better to not be well-liked in this time than to suffer forever in eternity. God's word will not change, and neither should we change to the winds of the world. When Jesus was coming near to the city of Jerusalem, as we heard in our text, he told his disciples, two of his disciples, to go there into the city and find this colt, the foal of an ass or a donkey, and bring him. And I'm sure these disciples were probably not much different than we were, and we would have probably been a little bit startled that why would we do that, but I'm sure by this time they had spent 3 years walking with the Lord Jesus. I'm sure that they had so many times been taught so many valuable lessons. So many times I'm sure they thought that it should be some other way, and I'm sure so many times Jesus had to rebuke them and forgive them for their sin. Even in when we think of that, one of the first miracles that Jesus performed there at that wedding in Canaan, the mother of Jesus had told his disciples that do as he says. Good things will happen when you do as he says. I'm sure many times in that home, mother and father with the Lord Jesus had faltered and failed. But I'm sure many times the Lord Jesus has picked them up with the words of comfort, the word of forgiveness, and encouraged them along. But now Jesus was entering Jerusalem. The people were waiting for a king. Even as we wait here in our day for the second coming of that king. Jesus told his disciples to go into the city, as we already mentioned, and get that colt, the foal of an ass. And he even told them that where to find such an ass or such an animal. He says, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose you the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. Jesus knew where to get this animal. He knew even what the owners would say. He made preparations for the disciples and he told them what to say. We can even think, dear brothers and sisters, that there's many things that will come up in our time, and what will we say? How will we respond to the questions of this world? But Jesus says in that time that he will give you what to say. So simply we can believe. And they simply repeated the words of Jesus to this question of, why do you take that colt? That he said, because the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Dear brothers and sisters, all these events and happenings of Scripture were now coming to a conclusion. Jesus had just spent some time there in that city of Jericho, where that blind man, I think his name was Bartimaeus, or I'm not sure how do you say it, but he was a blind man sitting on the side of the way. And he heard this commotion, this crowd of people coming by, and he asked that, what does this mean, or who goes there? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he began to cry out. He was told to hold his peace, then he began to cry out all the more. And Jesus says, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And the Lord said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed him, glorifying God, and the people. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So now these are the people that were following the Lord Jesus as he came there towards the city of Jerusalem. We can imagine why there would have been such great rejoicing there. Many people had received temporal infirmities of body were healed. Many people had received the gift of faith. Many people had been fed with just a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. There was great rejoicing there in that group of people as they now approached the city. And this is what they said. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. There were many that were offended at this, rejoicing that we also hear in the Kingdom of God. There's many that would want to silence this message of the forgiveness of sins. This message that brings such great joy unto a fallen sinner? Even in the time of the Old Testament travel, when they were traveling from in the wilderness from the land of Egypt to Israel, when they were fed that manna from heaven every morning, after a while people began to tire of that manna. And they asked Moses for something else that they began to maybe even despise, that simple manna. Dear brothers and sisters, let's not be as those that fell on the wayside in the wilderness and begin to despise the simple manna of the teaching of God's kingdom, this message of the gospel. This manna will sustain us all the way to the end of this life. Dear brothers and sisters, as we wait for the coming of the second coming of our Lord Jesus, let us wait with patience. Certainly there's much rejoicing in the kingdom of God here on the earth when a pardoned sinner can speak unto another sinner that your sins are forgiven. We don't need to be offended at this message of this kingdom. Even as Jesus told these Pharisees when they were offended, and they said that, why don't you silence these people? He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Dear brothers and sisters, oftentimes it might seem that our heart has become so stone cold. But is there any hope for a sinner such as I? Oftentimes traveling with such cold feelings. Oftentimes carrying so many doubts. Even as we hear of so many in our time that have lost the way to heaven. Even dear brothers and sisters, even natural brothers and sisters that we love so dearly, children that have come from the womb of their mother that have gone another way. There was no repentance needed to go that way. But dear brothers and sisters, let us remain traveling upon this sure way of faith, trusting in the merit work of Jesus Christ, putting sins away as they beset us, not being offended at this simple manna that we hear and believe here in this kingdom. This morning, dear brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus that has promised to come again. On the last day, to take the weary children of God away from this place. He knows each and every one of you. He has come through the Spirit of God to our services this morning. He wants to encourage you, even as He encouraged the people of His day. He didn't always tell them what they wanted to hear. Even the woman at the well, when Jesus told her to go get thy husband, that was probably a sore spot for her, for she had five husbands. But yet she wanted to receive that great blessing of Christmas.
That one that she even professed that the Messiah will come and he will tell us all things. The Messiah has come. And he wants to forgive you for all things. Dear brothers and sisters, this morning, you have permission to believe all of your ways of sin forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, so that on the last day you will be as the other children of God that have even recently left from this earth. When the Lord came for them, there was faith in the heart. That simple man of God's word was dear to them. They had left this earth believing in that work of Jesus, that was enough for them. They endeavored to travel with the children of God, believing their sins forgiven. So it is for us, dear brothers and sisters, let us also be as those saints that have gone to glory, gathering the blood drops of Jesus until the day that Jesus comes again to take you to heaven. Be encouraged and be emboldened this morning, dear brothers and sisters, to believe in that simple way of faith. Jesus came in a way of humility. He didn't come in some grand way as the world would like, but he came in that lowly way that we, as the children of God, still believe in such a simple and lowly way, but that is the sure way of salvation. Be encouraged and emboldened to believe, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And I also, dear brothers and sisters, at the conclusion of this service, find myself a great sinner. And I ask that will you forgive me for my many doubts and sins. I also want to see as the woman at the well, seeing with her own eyes the Lord Jesus. And the only way we will see the promises of God is by faith in that work that Jesus did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service this morning in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and to be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.